Question, what does Australia Day mean to someone like me? It doesn't really mean anything because I know this is a hard thing for people to maybe comprehend, but the Yidinji people and the Yidinji nation is separate to Australia, and the Yidinji National Day, for example, is January 7. Now, we wish that all Australian citizens who choose to celebrate and enjoy their Australia Day celebrate and see safety and peace and harmony, but that's an Australian culture, and because Yidinji weren't part of the Australian Constitution, it's not really our day to celebrate or to change the date. So, because we weren't invited to what they call participate in the life of the Commonwealth of Australia, so we don't recognise Australia's Day as being part of the Yidinji culture. So, like I said, Yidinji National Day is January 7th. But we're not really affected or impacted by January 26th as declared to be Australia Day. I tell you what is interesting. There are some people that would like to see the Australian flags being burnt on January 26th. We certainly don't condone any of that kind of action as Yidinji, because that may cause harm or injury to the Commonwealth of Australia or the Australian Constitution, Australian citizens, or things like that. So we're not really interested in doing those types of things, and we would condemn any action that leads to the injury or desecration of the Australian flag, for example. So we don't support or protest the January 26th, which is Australia Day, it's their day, but from a Yidinji point of view, it really doesn't have an impact on us. Yeah, I think it's important that people understand that Australia Day is for Australians, and that you know, all Australians should abide by the laws of the Commonwealth of Australia and the laws of the states in which they reside. And basically, that from a Yidinji point of view, we would encourage all Australian citizens to use the democratic principles to resolve any issues that arise regarding the date of celebration of Australia. A lot of people ask me, do you want to change the date? We've said to the Prime Minister and Cabinet Office, it's none of our business to change the date. It belongs to Australia. It's up to them. But the Yidinji Nation has its own National Day, which is celebrated on January 7.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yeah, to Delhi Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. You can add to the conversation, give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Big shout out to Mob, like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the Delhi country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. All right, to Delhi. Going to jump it straight into it, catch up with the first guest. We've got Claire Coleman on the line, and Claire, who debut novel, Terra Nullius, back in 2015. And we're talking about the lead-up to Survival Day. It continuously reminds me every year of the hurt and the pain inflicted on our mob. And we're yarning to different people on our National Talk Black Survival Day program, thoughts and opinions. So we have Claire Coleman on the line. Claire, good morning, sis. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, just let the mob know who you mob. Where are you from?
I'm Noongar mob, and I'm from the south coast of Western Australia, but I live in Melbourne, way from country.
Fantastic, sis. So tell us, what does Survival Day mean to you?
Well, for me, it's a day of mourning and protest. I hate that the government and the non-Indigenous people of Australia think we should be celebrating our National Day on what for us is the day that the attempted genocide began. And I personally think it should have changed a long time ago.
Exactly. I heard descriptions of it's like asking the Jews to celebrate Holocaust Day.
Yeah, so I believe that's exactly how what it is like, and I think I just will not accept any argument saying that we should keep the day what it is, because it doesn't even make any sense.
As long as we talk about the 26th of January and celebration of so-called Australia Day, to us as First Nation people, it'll always be Survival Day, won't it?
Well, for me, I don't even say Survival Day. I call it Invasion Day.
Okay, yeah.
Because to me, it's a day that we survived. We survived from that day, but without the invasion, without the unjustified invasion by the settlers back in 1788, wouldn't need to be surviving.
Well, there you go. So if we change the date, then we won't be talking Invasion or Survival Day, would we?
No, we would have to.
We'd be talking celebration of Australia.
I've always said that when politicians and the media say we shouldn't protest today, we should celebrate it. Well, we've always protested that day.
Mm.
And the only way to stop us protesting on Australia Day is to move it.
Is to change the date. How simple is that, you know?
As long as we'll always protest and mourn on January 26th. So if the government and the non-Indigenous people don't want us bothering them on their celebration day, they should just move the date, then maybe we'll stop annoying them so much.
And heard also the statement where people would say, First Mob would say,
"Hello,
look, can you hear me? Hello, you there, Claire?" We'll just go to song Lost Claire. They were trying to get it back.
It's so hard for my heart to set free. Stand here before you.
as witness at this grave. Our dearly beloved, we lay here this day to rest now in peace. We place in your hands forever in heaven. God bless you. Call upon your great divine. I would seek your hand to turn back time. I would seek your hand to turn. Seek your hand to turn back time.
Yeah, welcome back to National Talk Black. We're going to continue our conversation with Sister Claire Coleman on the line. Claire, you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, thank you for that. So here we are. We virtually want to get rid of the words out of the vocabulary, Survival Day and Invasion Day, and to do that, just change the date.
Oh, that's right. That would take away our, the 26th of January will always be a day of mourning and protest against colonisation, but I think it will no longer disrupt the celebration of Australia Day if Australia Day was moved. It's like if somebody has a horrible day and they decide, well, what they've done is they've gotten a day that's horrible for us and they've put a day they're celebrating on the same date.
Exactly.
And expected us to like it.
Yes.
Which I don't think that's right.
No, not good at all. Not good at all. And so so you as a First Nation woman, like I said, and like most First Nation people, We'll not celebrate on 26th of January.
I will never celebrate on 26th of January. There is no chance of me ever celebrating on that date, no matter what happens. Even if we were given the exact treaty we want with the exact treaty conditions we want tomorrow, I would not celebrate on 26th of January because I don't think it's the day to celebrate.
Sure, fantastic. And if you look at it, if we're looking at becoming a country that is one, then change the date for all, you know?
That's right.
Non-Indigenous Australians celebrate Australia Day. All we're saying is, well, fantastic, we want to celebrate with you. Let's pick another day. Let's pick a day for both parties, so to speak, to celebrate.
Yeah, that would be the better day. Choosing a day that the entirety of Australia wants to celebrate would be the only way to have an Australia Day that we can all celebrate.
Would you have a day in mind, Claire?
Well, I always say that once we have a treaty between First Nations people, or treaties, once everyone's signed treaties with the non-Indigenous people of Australia, with the settlers here, then the day that the last treaty is signed, that's when we can celebrate in Australia.
That's what you're thinking about. Okay, yeah. So, for that to happen, we then still have to wait for treaties to come about. Yes.
Yeah, well, we will have to wait for treaties to come about, but I think that until we have treaties, then the question is whether we can actually be a united country, whether we can be the country that the Australian government wants us to be. So, and also, it'd be nice if we could not only have treaties, but at the same time become a republic, rather than being tied and be holden to the British Empire still as well, because yes, that'd be nice as well, wouldn't it?
So we can stand alone on the big island,
as we
did 230 odd years ago.
Yeah,
exactly. So what do you do on so-called 26th of January?
I will always, well, so far for years, and I will continue to be, I'm at the nearest Invasion Day protest march.
Mm.
Normally it's in Melbourne,
yep.
Because that's where I normally am, but this year I'm in Sydney for the Sydney Festival, mm-hmm. So I'll be at the Sydney march this year.
Lovely. Fantastic. And, so here we are as First Nation people coming up to that yucky date, as we know, 26th of January. And what's your phrase and your statement to the phrase, Bulla Bridge, get over it?
Well, they expect us, they always say, when, I don't have a simple, really one-line response, but I always wonder why, as a country expected to have the concept of lest we forget about Anzac Day and remember that day forever, and then First Nations people are told to forget the invasion because it was a long time ago. Those two things together don't make any sense.
Mm, exactly right. Now, debut novel, Terra Nullis, back in 2015. Mm-hmm. Have you written any books since?
My second novel came out in September, mm-hmm. So about 4 months ago, and I've got a third novel hopefully coming out next year.
Okay, and what's the second book? What's the title of that book?
The second one's called The Old Lie, and that one's telling the story of the black diggers in World War II and their mistreatment.
Mm. And you got a third one coming out?
My grandfather was a digger.
Your grandfather was a digger, yep, okay, yes.
My grandfather was a digger. The third one, it's still secret.
Okay, fair enough. Watch the space.
Yeah.
Too deadly, fantastic. So you use, as an author, you use books to also educate the people of the world about First Nation Australia, yep.
Yeah, that's why I started writing, and that's why I continue writing, to try and change the way people think about our people.
Mm. Well, telling the truth is what you're doing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've always said Australia's got a history, black or white, good or bad, but the history is the history, and the history need to be told.
Right. And in the, there's, I think we can all accept, black and white, can accept that as long as we ignore the history, we won't grow up as a country. Mm. As long as we ignore the history, the history won't go, the history will never go away. So I don't think we can actually unite this country until everyone accepts and understands the history of this country.
So what you're saying as a positive person, Australia can get better?
I think Australia can get better, but we need to stop lying about the history. I think that's the first step. In South Africa, when they ended apartheid, the first thing they did was put in a national process of truth and reconciliation. In Australia, we're expected to want reconciliation without truth. But I think we need to go for truth first.
Mm, exactly. And if you look at it, we're the only first world country that has not got a treaty with its First Nation people.
Yes.
That's sad, isn't it?
That is sad. And we're the only colonised country that has the date of arrival of the colonisers as our national day.
There you go. So, egg on the face of Australian government, if you could say, you know.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Look, beautiful talking with you, my sister. Thank you very much for sharing. Look, Survival Day is upon us once again, and here we are chanting once again, change the date.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on your show.
All the best to you, Claire. You take care, my sister.
I will, you too.
Bye-bye. Deadly Yarn there with Claire Coleman, and author and poet, and her debut novel, Terra Nullis, back in 2015. And she's got a second book out, and a third book she's not saying. Watch this space. But look, we're yarning with different people on our National Talk Black program, Survival Day program, their thoughts and their opinions. And we go to Thelma Plum.
Do you know what it feels like to get mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
When I'm close to you, there is no better place to hold you in my arms, to see the smile on your face, whisper in your ear, tell you everything's alright. When we're laid together, gaze into the I know where I would rather be, 'cause I need you here close to me, but I would wait for you for eternity. When we're not together, I dream of only you. When I cannot touch you, I know not what I do. Our love is forever, for it was meant to be, I cannot stop the wanting, it is our destiny. For eternity. I would wait.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumblebee Media 98.7 FM. We'll go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Chief Creative Officer from Spark Health and Clothing the Gap, Sienna Catullo on the line. Sienna, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you, Trevor?
Fantastic. Just confirming that surname pronunciation, Catullo.
Catullo,
exactly. Thank you very much. Sienna, thank you. So first of all, before we start, who are your mob? Where are you from, sis?
Yeah, so born and raised in Melbourne, but my mob is from South Australia, so Narunga mob down at Point Pierce.
Oh, beautiful, fantastic. So here we are, Clothing the Gap, a play on words, but fantastic, a fashion brand for Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. So tell us about it, my sister.
Yeah, so we've been in the business for a little over a year now, and we've gotten quite big unintentionally, which has been really awesome. But yeah, it was just a space that we created. Like, you know, we've always sold Aboriginal merch and Aboriginal designed merch, but we found that there was a gap, that there was a space where non-Indigenous people wanted to celebrate and celebrate Aboriginal culture and support Aboriginal culture, but didn't feel comfortable doing so in Aboriginal design. So, you know, we simplified it a bit and we came out with some different range that everyone can sort of wear, and we sort of like to say, you know, we're uniting people through fashion and a cause.
I love it. I'm loving that, uniting people, you know. And look, when you look at the plane of words, Clothing the Gap, and we're talking about our fight as First Nation people and the struggle that we are in regarding closing the gap in all facets, education, employment, and housing and all the above, well, took advantage of a business opportunity, playing on words, Clothing the Gap. So that's thinking outside the square there, my sister.
Yeah, well, we're health professionals. Like, we have just come into the retail fashion industry, which was completely out of our comfort zone. Like, we run Aboriginal health promotion programs throughout Victoria, and that's what our full-time job is. And Clothing the Gap initially was just a little side hustle that we created to, you know, because we wanted more people wearing Aboriginal clothing and, you know, getting more messages out there.
Yes.
But, yeah, we're passionate about it. Aboriginal health, we're very passionate about. Closing the Gap, we're really passionate about. And we think that clothing can sort of make a difference and, yeah, it can support a cause.
So coming from that employment circle, so to speak, entrepreneur, business people, running with fashion brand and Clothing the Gap. Mm-hmm. You say we. Who's on board with you, Sienna?
So there's a team of four of us. So Laura Thompson, who's a Gundadjumara woman, she is the lead of the business, so, and runs Spark Health as well, as with our business partner, Sarah Sheridan. And then we have Lena Charles, who's a Yorta Yorta woman, who does all the programs that we run.
Fantastic. So team effort. And you're building Clothing the Gap. Over and above your job? Oh, you've gone full-time now in Clothing the Gap.
Yeah, so I'm full-time. So we sort of Spark Clothing the Gap has merged into one. So, you know, full-time, part of it, I do Clothing the Gap. A lot of the time, my time takes up Clothing the Gap, but I still get out there and help run programs. We manage the Fitzroy Stars Juniors, and we're helping grow that. So, you know, as well as getting all the marketing done and getting all the messaging done and selling clothes, we hang out at the Stars every week as well, and, you know, run that program too. So there's nothing. I feel like we've got like 100 hats on. No one does one job. You do about 500 jobs.
Yep, there you go. All the hats that you wear in running a business.
Yeah, exactly.
MYOB.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, look, when you're talking about business, to anybody out there who's in business, it's about being unique. It's about standing out from the crowd, you know. And they said when you put your head above the crowd, you're going to get hit with tomatoes. So you get some flack thrown at you Tell us some of the facts that you've been running with or that you've encountered, you know, especially when using, you know, playing on words, closing the gap. Did you get any negative press on that?
Not at all. Everyone thought it was a really clever... A clever little pun, but our probably biggest thing that we've had to deal with, and which has been a massive setback, is the new licensing agreements with the flag, because, you know, Blackfellas love to wear a flag and love to put flags on their clothing to, you know, represent their culture and to wear it really proudly. So obviously we made... some flag t-shirts, and we also made a hoodie last year for NAIDOC Week, which was really beautiful. It had all the mob names from all over Australia on the jumper, as well as the flag. And because the flag is newly copyrighted, it's been copyrighted its whole life,
but exactly.
There's new licensing agreements around it, which now they're enforcing that people pay to use the flag. So we got hit with a cease and desist last year in June, and we had 4 days to stop selling flag stuff. So we had over 400 items of clothing with a flag that we had to push out within the next 3 days, because we weren't allowed to sell them anymore, and they were going to press truck, like, they were going to take it further. We did. So we did that, but ever since that, we're just like, you know, this is ridiculous. This is our flag. This is our identity, and we want to choose how we celebrate our culture and choose how we want to use our flag. So we've been fighting for that now ever since June. We started a national campaign. It's called Free the Flag. We got up to 50,000 signatures on our petition, and we've had a lot of businesses and orgs as well reach out to us. You know, we've been the portal of other businesses and other orgs being hit with a cease and desist letter. And yeah, we're sort of trying to come together with that.
Well, look, food for thought. We're having this yarn about your business, Clothing the Gap, and new business owners and operating as such. And you're talking about clothing, you're talking about flags. It so happens that my next interview is with Brother Michael Connolly, Dreamtime. Kalila Arts and Artists. And they're in conjunction with Rose Fletcher organising a photographic image of the flag. So they're worth talking to regarding clothing, you know, for your business, Clothing the Gap, and having the Aboriginal flag as such. That's worth the conversation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Michael Connolly has been like a number one supporter, and he's been part of the campaign ever since we started it.
Yes.
I know he's been fighting the fight for a while now, because he's had flags on some of his items that he sells. So, yeah, we've been working really closely with Michael Connolly. He's become a really good friend, and the fight is... it's still a fight. But, you know, we're not giving up. Like, this is...
No way, exactly.
We're not doing it even for our business anymore, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need to sell flags to make business. We're doing it before community advocacy.
Yes.
And because we believe that we need a voice, and we need to be heard, and we need to be involved in the conversation around our flag. And, yeah, that's why we're doing it now.
Exactly.
But it's been good. We've got a legal team, so FAL lawyers have been working really closely with us about the flag stuff. And now we're just bringing together all people and businesses that have been affected by the licensing agreement, and we're trying to create a national voice. And then hopefully that creates enough noise and enough urgency to the government, that we're hoping that we don't have to go any further in legal battles, and the government will take charge and do something about it. But if not, we're prepared to go to High Court. And
of course,
Michael Connolly as well.
Quite the real fight.
We're ready for the fight. Yeah, exactly.
Fantastic. So talking about raising your head above the crowds and getting hit with tomato, you would have received some, like normal person when you're doing something that makes people feel uneasy or uncomfortable or jealous, what have you, get some negative connotations. Some of the hateful comments I'm reading here was, "I'm not interested in your company. It looks to me like you are just another branch of leftist movement." Yeah, so explain all that and tell us how you tackled that, or how you responded to that.
Yeah, it's tricky because, you know, like being a Blackfellas, you surround yourself you surround yourself around like-minded people where, you know, you agree on the same things and you view things the same way. I'm not really used to getting like backlash like that because, you know, I'm just used to being around people that agree with everything that I say. So as Invasion Day is coming up, which, you know, is a hard time for all Aboriginal people, it's a time of mourning, mm. It's a time of like reflection of all of that sort of stuff. So given our platform that we've got right now, and especially a lot of it being a non-Indigenous platform, we thought it would be really important and really powerful if we used our platform to educate people on why we don't like Jan 26 being celebrated as Australia Day, and why we call it Survival Day, and why we call it Invasion Day. So I feel like we're very
a platform of education.
Yeah,
educating the people of the world.
We're aggressive in our posts at all. Like we're very informative, and I think I like to say that we are. We're not like shooting anyone down. We're just saying like, hey, this is how we feel, and not sort of trying to tell other people that how their feelings are wrong. We just like to express to us why we feel a certain way about that date. So, you know, we posted a few photos about Invasion Day and did a little like, did you know, and just a little fact stuff, and, you know, a time of reflection piece. And Instagram's been awesome because our followers are all agree with everything that we say, and, you know, they feel the same way as us, so we don't really get any hate on Instagram. But Facebook, on the other hand, because you can share our posts, and our posts got shared, I'm not too sure how many times, but it got shared a lot. You come across those people who don't follow your page but see it and don't obviously feel the same way about certain issues. So Invasion Day in Australia Day is definitely one of those huge issues that a lot of people don't feel the same way. And that's what I was saying before, how, you know, I surround myself in like-minded people. Like, I don't know many people that don't feel the same way as I do because I choose not to be around those people. But then seeing comments on our Facebook just being like, wow, the amount of hate there is out there that don't see the same as we do and don't feel the same way as us. So in the beginning, like we've always said, our page is a safe space. And it's a safe space for us to celebrate our culture and to celebrate our identity. And we've always respected other people's opinions, and in the past we've always left people who don't agree with us their comments on our social medias, because sometimes it does spark healthy debates, and it also sparks opportunities to educate people about certain things. So I feel like whenever we do post something and we do get a lot of hate, or if we do get someone disagreeing with us, it's not usually us that actually have to comment back and tell them
stand
stuff.
Up exactly some yeah
always, yeah it's always a
like-minded people in your side stand up for you anyway.
Exactly, they do opinion. It for us, and that's a lot of time it's created healthy debate, and it's created opportunities for people to learn things that they haven't learned before, and, you know, maybe feel a different way about that topic in the past. But I think this post and Survival Day in particular just got really out of hand, and you know, the healthy debates turned just into like flat-out racist, bigoted comments. And then that's when we're just like, no, we can't have this. Like,
exactly.
Waking up to those messages and just going through them, like, it's a hard time as it is this week coming up, and then having to
deal with that.
Through those and read those, it just really...
But we're resilient people, aren't we, as black people, and we rise to that anyway, you know, and when you say put your head above the crowds, you're hit with tomatoes... We brothers and sisters just tune on those tomatoes and have been for 230-odd years, haven't we?
Exactly. And, like, you know, we want our space to be a positive space and a safe space for everyone who's on there. And leaving those comments there just wasn't safe. And, you know, it wasn't a positive at all. It made everyone who read them feel bad. And got to the point where it's like, if I want to fight someone on comments, like, it's time to delete stuff.
Exactly.
So
don't waste your time on time wasters. That's the other thing too, darling.
Exactly. You don't want to waste your time and energy on something that's, you know, you're not going to get through to those people.
Exactly.
Those people are doing that for a reason, because they're trying to control.
Well, they're saying that if you decide to do something in life, people are going to talk about you. If you decide not to do it, people are going to talk about you. So do it anyway.
Exactly. And, you know, we're going to be at So there's a march on Sunday and then there's a festival at Treasury Gardens afterwards in Melbourne.
Mm.
Oh, you guys are in Cairns. Yeah, so in Melbourne we have a festival. Do you guys have a festival in Cairns?
Yeah, we have Survival Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And actually, we as Bummer Bipper are going over to Yarrabah celebrating this year over Yarrabah with the mob over there.
Yeah, cool. So we've got, because we have the national protest in Melbourne, behind Parliament where it ends, we have a little festival for mob called Share the Spirit. So we've got, you know, artists, dancers, food, and we've got stalls. So we've got a stall down there. And, you know, instead of focusing on this hate comments that we're getting, we're choosing to focus on, like, getting the stall prepared and, you know, getting down to the march and being around like-minded people that day and being with mob and being with community, because that's what's really important and that's what we're going to spend our energy on thinking and talking about at this time. But,
too deadly. Well done. It's been well said. You're action people, and congratulations with you and your three colleagues there. And the dream is alive, closing the gap, and following you guys on Instagram. So, look, so thank you so very much, and all the best to you and your deadly team. Do you want to give out your number or webpage and something to that effect?
Yeah, so we are on Instagram. It's just at Closing the Gap. Facebook is at Clothes the Gap, because the other one was taken.
Okay.
And we have a website as well, so www.clothingthegap.com.au. And yeah, everything's there. If you want to hear more about the flag and the updates with that and what's going on there, we have a whole page dedicated to, you know, the journey, and if you wanted to join the movement, what that could look like and how you can participate and how you can raise awareness. So,
too deadly. Sienna, thank you so very much. All the best to my sister, and keep doing you.
Thank you, Trevor.
All the best now. Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. Sienna Cotula, her name is, and Chief Creative Officer from Spark Health and Clothing the Gap. So check it out on Instagram, Clothing the Gap, playing with words there, a fashion brand for Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. So they can see more Aboriginal designs in the world. It's more than a tee. It's a conversation starter. So there it is. Your mob, stay tuned. Your Dilly Murray radio program here, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, the bally one, live from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So stay tuned. We're going to go to George Dewis now with Nona Menace. Too deadly. Stay tuned.
Goodbye to you, my Nona, Nona Manis. Jangan lupa kepada saya. But in your eyes, you will always think of me. Saya dat limpi kepada saya. Goodbye to you, my Nona, Nona Manis. Don't you forget, jangan lupa kepada saya. But in your eyes, you will always think of me. Saya dat limpi kepada saya. Goodbye to you, my Nona, Nona Manis. Don't you forget, jangan lupa kepada saya. But in your eyes,
Saya dat limpi kepada saya.
Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can give us a call and have your say on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up and have a yarn now with Michael Connolly, owner of Dreamtime Kalila Art and Artists on the line. Michael, very good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good brother, and morning to all the listeners. Is it still morning? Yes, I think we're still going morning.
Yeah, that's right.
two showers down here, brother, and I'm here from the Curry. Well, on the Murray from Jarlable, Cunnamulla Way.
There you go, connection straight away, my brother. Too delivered. Thank you very much for coming to the program, brother. Now, we're talking about the Aboriginal flag. Look, it's an integral part of our identity as Indigenous people, and especially at marches and rallies such as Survival Day, happening with a lot of issues surrounding the copyright of the Aboriginal flag. You've been very vocal about this, my brother, and feeling about the situation. And this year, releasing a photographic image of the flag rather than a graphic design. The image was taken by Rose Fletcher. Ancestors calling that morning of the 1st of January 2020 the new dawn. So put us in the picture, brother, and the fight for our flag, for our existence as such in regard to a flag.
Well,
brother.
Yeah, well, this goes back a long way, as you know, when it first started in 1971 in Adelaide Square, and how they put it up for the marches and land rights and solidarity, and it went from there, so it's come 48, 49 years, and then
we got the rug pulled out from underneath us, so to speak, didn't we?
Yeah, brother, yeah, since we have, yeah, because Harold Thomas has the copyright and recognised, and when now he has given a licence to Wham Clothing, and they've now insist that the Aboriginal people have to go to them to print clothing to support their health, their sports, their communities, their children, and you have to pay them 20% fee, which is 5% to Harold Thomas, and the rest goes to them, and don't forget the 10% GST. So we said, well, what do we do? And then I received a cease and desist letter from using the flag on my business, and then likes of Stephen Hogarth, then it went down to Victoria to Clothing the Gap, the girls who use the flag for shirts and that.
Yeah, just had a beautiful yarn with Sienna Cthulhu about the situation. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so they have it for supporting their local communities and his kids at school, and they raise money to support about sporting needs and all that. So we thought, oh, we're going all right. And then they received cease and desist. And then the young fella who was the surfer, he had it on his surf gear, and he was told he had to pay a fee to use the flag. And then Nova Paris got involved, and she'd been a very high recognised sports lady and also ex-senator. So then we contacted Nova, and Laura and Nova and I got together, and we said, this has got to stop. You know, this is our children and our grandchildren. They rely, as you said, they rely on this flag, and it's a solidarity for Aboriginal Australians. And we have that to walk, show, dances. It's been advertised, and even when you see the song Treaty by the mob up in the Meshdarim land, when that song comes up, the flag rises and everybody stands under it in solidarity. But now this non-Indigenous company, Wham Clothing, has turned
it all into business, commercial, haven't they?
Yeah, they've taken away, our little piece of life. We've lost our lands. We're losing our land. We're losing our...
We're losing our flag.
Yeah, and then down the bottom, the last thing left is the arts are all been taken into Indonesia and overseas, and now we've got the flag that's been taken again. So,
exactly.
Is this about closing... it's about closing the gap, as I say. They've taken 230 years, and they've nearly closed the gap on recognition of the Aboriginal people. But as we come to this special day, as the 26th of January, they call it Australia Day, well, we call it the surviving race of the oldest culture in the world.
Yes.
We have survived through the Holocaust. We've survived through the removals, we have survived through taking of our lands, we've survived through the taking of our art, we are going to survive through the taking of our flag. And, you know, we are strong, we are survivors, we are not, we've lived in the bush with no wind, the droughts, where there wasn't many, there was an odd few, but we've survived in this land for hundreds of thousands of years, and this mob come here in 230 years, they say, no, you've got to stop that now, stop surviving and become us.
Exactly, so, exactly. You know, and that's why we're resilient people, and look, we'll fight till the end of the earth, brother, and if it means a flag as a vehicle as such, and so be it, we'll fight for that as well. So what's plan B in that sense? So we're talking about a photographic image of the flag with the with Mother Sun on the flag. Yep. So is that what we're looking at the moment?
Yeah, well, that's it. It was given to this non-Indigenous lady, took the photo on the first 2020. She then wanted it for the Aboriginal people because it looked so good to country with the fire and the sun.
It reminded her of the flag, the Aboriginal flag.
So she contacted Nova Paris and she said, Nova, I'd like your people to have this, and would you like to be the copyright holder of my picture?
Yes. So this doesn't happen again regarding the thing getting sold again.
That's right. So Nova has become the copyright holder of that image. And then Nova, myself and Laura Thompson, we are meeting with lawyers next Friday in Melbourne, and we're going to have it registered under a trust recognised by Nova, Laura and myself. And we'll work out a plan through our lawyers, and then how the Aboriginal people can use it for sporting, for community, for their schools, for the young ones to carry and pride. And then it can be, there's no commercial value on it. You know, you can go and get it done for supporting your community too.
Right, exactly, you know. So virtually what you're saying is it's virtually a vehicle that could put wear and clothing out of business. What's your thoughts on that, brother?
Well, it's probably in a sad way that they have to go out of business, because, you know, if they realise the strength of what it is to a group, if they had their own flag and somebody took that off them, they would be mostly upset. So this is why they're getting upset, because they have a money-making tool which they're no longer going to have.
Exactly.
Because the Aboriginal people are going to have their own Mother Earth's photo, you know, the sacred flag for the people. So we have the sacred flag by Mother Earth, given to us by a non-Indigenous person, protected by a trust with Nova Paris, Michael Connolly and Laura Thompson.
Sure.
And that way then we can walk with the people and say, right, if you want to go ahead and support your community, go ahead and support your community, but don't try and make it into a commercial business and you're going to make this much money out of it, because you've got to put your money up to get the shirts printed, the flags printed. I got a flag printed the day for Nova, and that cost me $170 with that image of that fire image of the sacred the sacred flag. It cost me $170 to get one flag printed, because I want Nova to. She's got that now. She's got the image. She's got a flag.
Exactly. Run with it. So that was an investment on your part, is what you're saying, for our people.
Yes, exactly. It's for our people. It's about our people having solidarity and walking under one emblem, as we say, is one recognition of what we are. Where the other flag is controlled by Harold Thomas and now by Wham Clothing.
Sure.
So the Aboriginal people are, you know, the young ones are saying, oh, why can't we? Oh, you can't do that little one.
Exactly.
They
don't understand the business side of it, saying, well, that's our flag, is it not?
That's it. That's right. And now the NAIDOC committee has been sold cease and desist without getting permission from them to use it for NAIDOC.
Yeah, exactly. What's your thought? You would like to comment on Harold Thomas's move regarding selling the rights? Do you think it was a business move, or is the reason behind it?
It's a very strange setup. You know, he comes from the stolen generation, from Alice Springs to Adelaide. You know, he's been through trauma. He's seen our people suffer. He's walked with the flag in Adelaide Square. He's seen the suffering. But this is now put more sufferance back to people. So why doesn't he come to the middle of Australia, down to the people, where we can have a big forum and say, my people, I understand how you feel. I would like you, you know, to walk with the flag again, because the pride that he said that he has for his people. And if you heard him on that Karma radio, how belongs to him, belongs to his family, be me. But you can use it if you pay me. You know, well, how about the love that's what it was firstly flown for, and the solidarity of the joining of people, of our people, of the Aboriginal people of this country. You know, hey, how much pride do you want? Is it pride or profit?
Sure, exactly.
Pride to me, yeah, pride to
Which
me.
Which P are you talking about?
Yeah, so is he walking for pride or wants pride and profit? You can't walk for pride and then ask for payment, you know. You got to be...
And have your cake and eat it too.
People. Exactly. Yeah, exactly, no?
Exactly, brother.
Because, you know, the flag was actually made... recognised by the Copyright Law of Australia by Harold Thomas, but who actually put that flag up on a pedestal? The Aboriginal people of Australia from 1971 to now have carried that flag, has made that flag from one little picture right up to the top of the world,
exactly.
Where it's known. It's known in every... And look, the Olympic Games, you know, with Kathy Freeman.
Exactly.
You know, we've got Nova Peris. We have all the sporting people of the world that know...
If not tattoo, if not carrying a flag, they tattoo it on their chest, so to speak.
That's it. So it is... You know, imagine now if Wham decides to say, well, no, all that's gone now. Well, you know, a lady rang me from Sydney this morning, and she was the lady that gave Kathy Freeman that flag.
Yes.
And she's crying.
And she's a non-Indigenous person, is she?
No, she's an Aboriginal person.
Aboriginal person, okay. Well, she's crying, of course, yes.
Well, she's crying this morning to me. She rung me and crying. She said, what am I do, brother? You know, this. Exactly. I'm upset that I can't link with this flag. And I never met Kathy, but I handed to her when she ran past me. I said, here, love, take this with you.
Yes, beautiful.
And she said, now, I'm, and she was upset and she was crying. She said, I'm so upset.
Exactly.
My family's upset. My grandkids are saying, oh, what's wrong, Gran? You know, so we have an Aboriginal woman that supported Kathy Freeman at the top level of sport in the world. And now she's crying because she's too frightened to even mention the flag because of what's happened.
Well, but listen to that story. You go so far as to saying that a form of stolen generation, something has been taken from me, stolen from me, you know what I mean? And that's,
exactly.
You know, for a lady to ring up and cry about it.